previously I was chatting to a stand-up comedian, but now I'm chatting to a seasoned theatre maker. Casey is her name, and she's here to chat about her show, The Archive of Educated Hearts. Good afternoon, Casey.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
What is The Archive of Educated Hearts? Because it sounds a little difficult to just be like, it's a theatre show.
So it doesn't take place in a traditional theatre space. I'm on at Holden Street, but they've given me a little room which I've built into a library of memories, a museum of memories. It's full of old photographs, letters, toys. We all sit around on sofas. It's kind of like being at a family gathering and going through old photo albums together. It's like sitting in my gran's living room, basically. So it's an unusual setting. And then the show itself is about living without regrets, embracing the people you love and the impact you have on your family and friends and all the people through your life that influence you and make a part of your story. Mm. But I came to write that through. That's the end result of wanting to write a show about breast cancer. Because my mum has breast cancer. She's one of four sisters who all have breast cancer. And I've been making shows for years. I thought, you know, everyone says write what you know. And I thought, I know this subject inside out. So how do I begin? I didn't know how to start writing about just me and my mum's relationship and breast cancer there. But my old drama teacher, Emma Carnes, she was traveling the world at the time when I was first thinking about writing the show, after her breast cancer diagnosis had progressed. So she decided to take early retirement and with her daughter Molly travel everywhere, all over Cambodia, Borneo. She came to Australia. They went so many different places. I thought that's such an amazing story, such an uplifting story. And following all of their pictures on Facebook, I thought I have to talk to Emma about that adventure that they had together. And that was the starting point. From there, spoken to other women about their stories and put together the show from all their stories.
It's a multimedia show, so you are listening literally to their stories.
Yes. So I interviewed Emma. I also interviewed some of my family, and I interviewed my old singing teacher Oriel as well. And I used their actual interviews in the show. I didn't know that was what I was going to do when I started researching and doing these interviews to gather information. But actually, you got so much from hearing them tell their stories in their own words and talk about the people that they love. Mm. I thought, I've got to just include them. Their voices are actually going to bring so much more to this than me trying to turn that into something else. I think that it's at its purest form hearing them say how they felt about the whole experience themselves.
So you've made several theatre shows before. Have you made something like this before?
I've never made something like this before, actually. I've been doing the Edinburgh Fringe for 10 years. I've written lots of shows. I've been in lots of shows with different companies. So my own company, Lionhouse Theatre, we've done a trilogy of myths and legends set in the 21st century. We brought Night Creature over to Adelaide 2 years ago. And then my old company, we did a lot of literary adaptations. I was a musician in We Live by the Sea, which came to Adelaide a couple of years ago, which was about a girl with autism. But this is the first show that I've written that is really, really close to my heart and really personal, and I guess puts me in a vulnerable position, because I'm actually talking about myself. I'm not putting it into the frame of an allegory or a story. It's actually real people that I love that I'm talking about and who I listen to every day as I do the show.
I think we chatted about this the other week about the fact that one of the people you interviewed actually died before you could actually put on this show. Are there any difficult feelings there about telling someone's story after they've passed?
Yeah, absolutely. So Emma, my old drama teacher, I said, who travelled the world with her daughter Molly, it was 2 weeks before the very first performance last August that Emma died. And suddenly, especially because she was my old drama teacher, so this is a person who, as I was growing up, as I was learning, you know, my craft and discovering what I wanted to do with my life and, oh, maybe I'll write plays, had such an influence on that. I couldn't then go to her anymore and ask her how she wanted me to present her story, which and that was the exact time, 2 weeks before the show went up in Edinburgh. That was when I was rehearsing it. That's when I was cutting together the interviews. The day that I heard the news, actually, was when I was transcribing Emma's interview, and I heard the news. So I felt really guilty. I felt guilty that it wasn't my place to tell this story, but I'm really proud to be telling it and to be sharing her story with so many people. And as I say, because it is in her own words, I feel like she's still had such a big stamp on how that's told and the way she comes across in it, and the love and everything she's given to Molly comes through so strongly. So, yeah, but it was really difficult, and I just suddenly, it wasn't something I anticipated happening, making the show. Also, my auntie, who I interviewed as well, who also features in the show, Karen, her cancer progressed also while I was, just before I interviewed her. So suddenly cancer had kind of come up to the surface again. It had been in my life for such a long time, but you do forget how much it can turn worlds upside down. Mm. And suddenly these two people that had both had very big influences on me growing up in different ways, it had come back in a way that I hadn't anticipated it being such a difficult process of putting it together, actually. Mm. But I think it certainly changed how I wrote the show. Mm. Yeah.
I'm chatting to Casey J. Andrews, a theatre maker from the UK, about her show, The Archive of Educated Hearts. Now, this is a difficult topic. Do you feel like there's any anxiety approaching a show like this?
I hope that what I've done is, because I worry that if it's a subject that's really close to home, I don't want people who are going through similar things to come to the show and have a horrible time. Because I've seen shows before that have been about things that are, you know, close to the bone for me. They've been objectively brilliant shows, but I've been really upset watching them. And particularly when I got the news about Emma, I thought, this is something I'm going to have to be really delicate in how I piece it together and make sure it's hopeful and uplifting and shows all the positive things of having people that you love in your life. That's the important thing. It's about living your life well and living without regrets. And so I wanted to focus on that, to hopefully make it an experience that would be okay for someone who was going through it to come and see, and maybe even something that could help on those darker days when you do kind of lose sight of the good things in life, and you get swamped in the difficulty of going through a diagnosis like that, or any tragedy. I think it's quite universal, because it's not just cancer that people face. In everyone's life, you face different difficult things, and so hopefully the positive side of it, and the positive side of all the, surrounding yourself with people that you love, is the thing that comes through strongest.
I suppose that makes me want to ask, have there been reactions that you've received like that?
Yes. Do you know, the funniest thing, not the funniest thing, I guess, but I'm not a big hugger. I've never been a big hugger. But I found almost immediately when I started doing the show in Edinburgh, and that's carried on wherever I've done it. I've done it a few places now around the world. And people just want to give me a hug afterwards. I don't know where that comes from, whether it's because I've been very open and honest with them about myself and my story, or just because it can be an emotional experience to talk about people you love and you know, making time for people. So there have been strong emotional responses, and I've a lot of women I know that have either gone through breast cancer or who have lost someone from breast cancer or from anything have come to the show, and those are the ones that I've been really conscious of. I've been really worried about, you know, I don't want to upset the people watching the show, but they've come out with the message, I hope, that I wanted to put across, that our lives are full of people that care about us, and they're always going to influence us, you know, whether they're in our lives immediately now, or whether we don't see them for another 10 years, or whether they're gone, but we still have their voice in our head giving us advice and, you know, ringing in our ears.
Yeah. It sounds like it's a very intimate show. Is there any difficult in performing a show like that?
It is quite intimate. The space is, there's only 27 seats. Mm. Originally, it was only 5 seats in Edinburgh. I was in a tiny shed. I phoned up the Pleasance on the last day that they were programming and said, oh, I need to bring the show this year. They had no spaces left, and I'm a designer as well. So when they were like, well, we don't have anything, I was like, well, give me some floor space outside and I'll build a shed. So that's why it was originally this tiny, tiny space. And I don't have a difficulty doing it in a space that small. I am conscious that it's a bit unusual for some people. Some people have never seen a show that is that intimate. Mm. But I enjoy that it's up close and personal. I enjoy that everyone can. I lay out photographs of all the different women as I go through the story. And I like that you can get up close and almost touch the photos. You can see them. They're right there in front of you. You don't have that thing in a big studio where you're removed slightly from the action. It's like you're in the living room with me, just going through old memories.
Mm. I suppose you've maybe sort of answered this already, but what do you want audiences to take away from your show?
I guess I have the main thing I want audiences to take away is to live for the moment, to live without regrets. The four women I interviewed, there's sort of three main messages from each of them. And my auntie Karen, her message is very much, you know, she didn't have a big epiphany when she got her diagnosis. She just thought, right, I can either bury my head in the sand and get swamped in this, or I can get on with it. I can get up, get on with it, and carry on living my life how I lived my life before, which is what she did. Aurel, who is my old singing teacher, she now says she lives for the moment because you never know what's going to happen next. So she doesn't plan ahead, but she does all these amazing things. She was in Edinburgh this year. She choreographed a show. She'll go on these wonderful trips and make sure that she's always living life for today. And Emma's message was all centered on her daughter Molly and how you can leave something tangible behind and create new memories with the people that you love while you're there, so they can still have that later on after you might not be there. And so I think those three messages from those three women are the three different angles that I think are so important, and I think they make their points very well in the show. I think their message comes across really clearly, and I feel like I just sit there and say that what I've learned from these women is that that they're amazing, and if you can surround yourself with people like them, then you're very lucky.
So where and when can people catch this show?
It's at Holden Street Theatres, weekdays it's on at 6:15 and 7:15, and weekends it's on at 3:30, 4:30 and 5:30.
Thank you so much for joining me, KCJ Andrews.